This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Last November, Vancouver Mayor Sam Sullivan introduced an initiative called Project Civil City. In it, the mayor promises to create what he thinks of as a better city, a city free of public disorder, crime, and homelessness. The plan, which passed at City Council, is a collection of over 50 initiatives that range from increasing policing and bylaw enforcement to closed-circuit camera surveillance. The city will allocate $300,000 this year for a Project Civil City Implementation Office. Sullivan describes his overarching goal as an environmentally inspired one, increasing density to reduce global warming. He says that reducing civil disorder is a key to the eco-density concept, that people won't live in a densely populated urban area if they associate it with too much public nuisance and disorder. The mayor says Project Civil City aims to cut homelessness in half by 2010. David Eby is a lawyer with the Pivot Legal Society, which advocates for some of Vancouver's most marginalized citizens, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jane.
Now, let's begin with the whole idea of reducing public disorder by increasing enforcement. What are some of the measures that are included in Project Civil City?
Well, it's kind of a vague thing right now. It's the project is contained in a high gloss brochure that the mayor's office put out. And what's happened currently at City Hall is there are a series of objectives that the Mayor Sullivan wants to reach, and some of those are reduced panhandling, reduced littering, that kind of thing. And so he's asking staff, well, how are we going to do that and report back to us within 40 days on how to enact this? And he also wants to bring in a Project Civil City Commissioner that will oversee this process at City Hall. That's the $300,000 you're talking about. That, but beyond that, the entire project is kind of vague, except for that there will be increased policing and that there will be increased bylaw enforcement in the city.
I understand that there is something in there about sanitation staff. This is garbage collectors and parking enforcers that are going to be used as the eyes and ears of the police. Do you have any idea what that's about?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't already be, if they saw something unusual, that they would call the police. So it's obviously some kind of enlargement of this sort of informal process where if you're a parking attendant and you see something weird, you would call 911 just like anyone else. It's hard to know exactly where they're going with that kind of thing. It's a little bit scary, actually.
Well, now, Sullivan says that this increased enforcement is going to reduce activities like the open drug trade and like what is always called aggressive panhandling. What's your take on that approach to these issues?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, there was something called the Citywide Enforcement Team that was brought in by the Vancouver Police Department, and that put a significant number of additional police officers in the downtown east side to crack down on the open drug market. And the result was, and it was documented very well by some academic studies, reduced harm reduction. People were more reluctant to use the safe site and needle exchanges, so increases in risk of HIV and hep C transmission. People moved out of the neighborhood, drug transactions, discarded needles outside the downtown east side area increased throughout the city, especially in the Granville Strip area. So what it did was it displaced the drug trade from the downtown east side to other neighborhoods throughout Vancouver at a very significant cost. As a result of citywide enforcement, the Vancouver Police Department went over its budget for 2 years in a row. And so taxpayers are paying for essentially what is not solving the problem, but is increasing the scope of the problem by spreading it throughout the city. And I'm worried that that's exactly what's going to happen with this new citywide enforcement team that's called Project Civil City.
Now, funding for much of the plan is supposed to come from the proposed Olympic Legacy Fund, $1 million. What's your response to that kind of spending?
It's really frustrating to hear that legacy money is going to be used for this. As part of the Olympic bid, Vancouver made a commitment, as did BC and Canada, that this would be one of the most sustainable Olympics of all time, that poor people would not be adversely affected by the Olympic Games. And there was this legacy money that was supposed to provide a legacy of affordable housing, of employment opportunities and culture. And the city of Vancouver pledged this money. And now Sam Sullivan is using $1 million of this money to hire bylaw enforcement officers for a temporary measure that's no legacy at all. To be most charitable to it, we could think that maybe he's hoping it will have a broken windows effect, the New York City model, where additional crime control at a lower level, like jaywalking and broken windows, will result in additional crime control at higher level, sort of a trickle-up effect. And that's his plan for the legacy. Unfortunately, it's already been tried in the downtown east side, and without additional resources like housing and mental health supports and those kinds of things, it's going to be a brutal failure, and that $1 million will be gone before we know it.
Well, let's talk about housing, because last year, Pivot produced a report predicting that 2.5 times more homeless people would be on the streets by the Olympics. And Sullivan says he's aiming for a reduction. He wants to cut homelessness in half in 3 years by 2010. Is there anything in the plan that makes that target look credible?
Yeah, this is the funny thing about it. Mayor Sam says that what gets measured gets done. Unfortunately for his administration at City Hall, his plan is to measure it, housing, like homelessness, to be reduced by 50%, but he doesn't have any plan on how to get it done beyond measuring it. There are no new initiatives that are part of Project Civil City to reduce homelessness. In fact, it explicitly says in the plan that this is to complement existing measures that the city already has to combat homelessness, which are failing very badly. And so we have no idea how he's planning on reducing homelessness by 50%. And our concern is that he's throwing that in there so that people don't say this is an attack on the poor. And there's just that one reference in the report to homelessness, that it will be reduced by 50%. There's nothing beyond that to say how that's going to happen.
Now, you also mentioned mental health issues, and the project acknowledges the lack of decent mental health services as a root contributor to public annoyances, in its language. Does this plan do anything to address that issue?
No, it doesn't. And mental health issues are really beyond the jurisdiction of the city. The city has pretty limited powers in that regard. Primarily, this is a responsibility of the province. When I read that, it was about the same time that Premier Campbell was making his pontifications about the failure of deinstitutionalization and the fact that we need to essentially reopen institutions in British Columbia. Definitely, deinstitutionalization has been a failure, but not because of deinstitutionalization. It's because there were no supports in the community for the people that were released from these institutions. Like, people with mental health issues in the downtown east side have a very difficult time accessing the services that they need, the outreach services to make sure that they get their meds and all these things that help them live in community. And deinstitutionalization just essentially dropped them on the street and said good luck to you. And of course it was a failure. So our concern is that in the lead up to the Olympics, because this is very clearly a cleanup plan for the Olympics, it's no matter what the mayor says, it's very clearly a cleanup plan for the Olympics. Part of this plan will be to reopen an institution and essentially put everyone that isn't very visually appealing for the Olympics into that institution, and the premier and the mayor are in cahoots on that. So that when I read that, that was what went through my head. Whether or not it's true is it seems pretty likely, but...
On the issue of drug addiction, another civil city initiative is to reconfigure the Four Pillars coalition to make enforcement the focus for 24 months. Now, hasn't it always been the focus?
Yeah, this is a thing. A lot of the people in the community, the common phrase is a log and four sticks for the instead of four pillars, because the log is this huge emphasis on enforcement, and the police get all of the funding for harm reduction and for reducing drug traffic in the downtown east side, and there still isn't detox on demand. So if you're on drugs and you want to get into detox, you have to wait 24 to 48 hours. There still isn't treatment on demand. So when you get out of detox, you have to wait another period of time before you even get into treatment. There still isn't supportive housing for once you get out of treatment to reintegrate you into the community. So all these pieces are missing. None of them are funded under Project Civil City. And so the question is, if they haven't been funded before and there's going to be an increased emphasis on enforcement beyond what's already out there, it stops looking like a four-pillar plan, quite frankly.
Now, the city said that they've consulted a number of downtown East Side organizations, but the organizations say that that's not actually what happened.
Yeah, there was a bit of an administrative foul up at City Hall where on the back page of the high gloss brochure, it said thank you to the following organizations that we consulted, and accidentally, instead of printing the list of organizations that were actually consulted, they printed the invitation list. So a large number of downtown Eastside organizations who heard about this initiative and were invited and were disgusted by it and refused to participate were listed as participating, including the Downtown Eastside Residents Association and the Lookout Emergency Shelter Society. So these organizations refused to participate deliberately because they didn't want to have their words twisted. They didn't want to participate in this process because they knew what it was about. And they woke up to see their names on this brochure as essentially participating in creating it. And even the organizations that did participate in creating it, like the Carnegie Action Program, they have asked to have their names taken off because their viewpoints aren't even represented anywhere in the document, even as some kind of a small section on dissent or, you know, these groups didn't agree with this particular approach. Their words just simply aren't in the document.
Did Pivot participate?
No, we weren't invited to participate, which isn't a huge surprise. We're not super popular with Mayor Sullivan's administration.
What do you make of the mayor's contention that reducing public disorder and nuisance is an environmental or an eco-density issue, that we have to convince people that density doesn't equal crime and disorder so that people will come and live in downtown Vancouver?
Yeah, it's very funny because the idea that people don't want to live in Vancouver, in downtown Vancouver, is really undermined by, I think, the price of condominiums in downtown Vancouver. It's very expensive to live in downtown Vancouver, and there are a lot of people who would love to live in downtown Vancouver but simply, you know, can't afford to because the demand is too high. So this idea that you need to convince people to live downtown, I think, is a bit of a red herring. The truth of the matter is it's not about eco-density. It's about the Olympics, and it's very clearly about the Olympics. We're 2.5 years out from the Olympics, and the downtown East Side looks the exact same as it did when we got the Olympic bid, and it's going to look the exact same as it does in 2010, and possibly and likely even worse, with 2.5 times as many homeless people on the streets of Vancouver. And they're scrambling. They're trying to do the best they can because there's no way that they can build sufficient social housing to deal with this problem by 2010.
Now, the TIE reported that Sullivan's plan sounded a lot like a letter sent to him from the Vancouver Board of Trade, whose chairperson characterizes Vancouver as a city beset by beggars and thieves. Would you go along with that?
I really wouldn't agree with that. And I was kind of disappointed by the Board of Trade because one of the things that we're seeing is increased homelessness leading to impacts on enterprise in the city and business in the city. Reports in The Economist magazine and international tourism websites that say, you know, in Vancouver, heads up, there's a lot of homelessness and you better be prepared for that. You better be prepared for panhandling and very visible poverty. And instead of coming up with a constructive solution saying, look, we need to build housing, because the business lobby is very popular with the current administration at City Hall, provincially and federally, they have a lot of power. And for them to come forward and not say, let's build some housing for the homeless people, get them off the streets so that our businesses can do better, instead they say, let's put them in jail. And I think that's very frustrating.
Thanks for coming in this morning, David.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with David Eby. David is a lawyer with the Pivot Legal Society. Pivot advances the interests of marginalized people through legal education, law reform, and strategic legal action.